Walter Sports Bar in Navy Yard offers $5 happy hour in both snacks and drinks. To reserve a table, visit waltersdc.com/happyhour.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Parker winds and fires. Swing and a miss. He struck out Ohtani with a curveball. So Mitchell Parker strikes out Ohtani for his third strikeout.
Now the pitch to Garcia. Swung on and driven in the air to deep left center field. This is way back to the warning track. Hernandez, he is out of room and is gone. Goodbye. An opposite field three-run homer for Luis Garcia Jr. Three-run shot, and the Nationals now lead by the score of 6-2. Parker rocks and kicks. And the pitch, half swing, fooled on a breaking ball, strike three. A 1-2-3 inning for Mitchell Parker on six pitches.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, along with MassinSports.com Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi Podcast. The first time that Mark and I met in person was on June 9th, 2010, the morning after the unforgettable Major League regular season debut of Steven Strasburg. Well, here we are 14 years later. A lot has changed. And we finally have a national starting pitcher having registered a win in his Major League regular season debut for the first time since that Strasburg debut. An amazing drought is over. The Nats late night on Monday night won at the Los Angeles Dodgers 6-4 in game one of a three-game series. Mitchell Parker, two runs in five innings, and yes, he got the win. This installment of the Nats Chat podcast is brought to us by the Fred Nats Star Wars Night, taking place in Northern Virginia this upcoming Saturday evening, April 20th. Tickets start at just $10. You can get your tickets now at frednats.com/tickets. Catch the future stars of the Washington Nationals right down the road in Fredericksburg. So the Nats now on their nine-game road trip in California are 4-3. The Nats for the regular season now are 7-9. And Mark, it only took 14 years, but we now can say that Steven Strasburg was not the last Nats starting pitcher to earn a win in his Major League regular season debut.
And as we all expected, Al, Mitchell Parker would be the one to end that streak, right? Of course, we knew that one was coming. Thinking back to that morning that we met, very early morning at the radio station, probably about 5 a.m. when we got there. Well, I'm looking at the clock on my laptop and still on East Coast time. It says 2:01 a.m. right now as we tape this. So maybe there's some symmetry there as well. We do our best work, and maybe Nationals rookies do their best work very late at night or very early in the morning. Can I read you the list? I've had this list on my computer for quite a while. Can I read you the list of all 17 pitchers who made their Major League debut for the Nationals since Steven Strasburg, with none of them getting the win?
Let's hear it. I'm anxious to hear this list.
All right, this is a great list. All right, June 8th, 2010, that was Steven Strasburg. Later that year, Yunesky Maya took the loss. 2011, Tommy Malone, no decision. 2013, Nate Karns, no decision. Later in 2013, Taylor Jordan took the loss. 2015, Joe Ross took the loss. 2015, A.J. Cole, no decision, should have taken the loss, gave up 9 runs to the Braves, didn't take the loss because that was the Dan Uggla game, for those who remember, a great moment in Nationals history. 2016, Reynaldo Lopez took the loss. 2016, Lucas Giolito deserved the win, gave up no runs in 4 innings, had only thrown 45 pitches, but then it rained and they wouldn't bring him back out for the 5th. The Nationals had the lead at the time. They won the game, but because of the stupid win rule, he didn't get credit for the win. 2017, Eric Fetty, loss. 2018, Austin Voth, loss. 2020, Will Crow, loss. 2021, final day of the season, Yoan Adon deserved a win. 2 runs and 5 1/3, 9 strikeouts against a Red Sox team that had to win to make the playoffs. The Nationals led 5-2 when he departed the game, and the bullpen blew it, and he got no decision. 2022, Jackson Tatro, loss. 2022, Evan Lee, loss. 2022, Cade Cavalli, loss. 2023, Jake Irvin, no decision. And 2023, Jackson Rutledge, loss. So that's 17 starts in between Strasburg and Parker, in which the pitcher making his major league debut went 0-11 with 6 no decisions. I've been waiting a long time to see somebody end this streak. And it's not just that he ended the streak, but think about who he did this against in the environment he did on Jackie Robinson Day. This, to me, is one of the most impressive individual performances in Nationals history, given everything that was going on surrounding it.
The streak was such a funny thing because there certainly was a bad luck element to it. There was a quirkiness to it. At the same time, it is representative of something that we've talked about so often, which has been the Nats' struggles to develop young players, especially pitching, especially starting pitching. And that streak was sort of emblematic of that problem that we certainly hope is being rectified here. But all props to Mitchell Parker for what he did in this game. 2 runs in 5 innings. He gave up just 4 hits, which were a double and 3 singles. 4 strikeouts versus no walks. He threw a good number of strikes, 81 pitches, 52 strikes versus 29 balls. I mean, we all know the deal with the Dodgers. 11 consecutive playoff appearances, this super imposing lineup. I mean, the leadoff batter is Mookie Betts. The number 2 batter is Shohei Ohtani. The number 3 batter is Freddie Freeman. The cleanup batter is Will Smith. This is like almost a who's who, it feels like, of great batters in Major League Baseball. And Mitchell Parker navigated this lineup quite well. I give him a ton of credit. I give the Nats coaching staff credit. I give Riley Adams credit. Riley Adams, again, was the Nats starting catcher. Now, 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts, catcher's interference error, but he was a part of this battery that did a really good job, all things considered, against this fearsome lineup.
Here's the thing that stood out to me about this. A couple of things. Number 1, 0 walks. And that had been his issue in the minors, high walk total. So to have the composure to throw strikes in this setting against those hitters, I think was remarkable for him. The 2 runs that he gave up did not score on hits. They were on sacrifice flies. So he gave up a couple of singles in the first and then sacrifice fly, a double in the second, and then 2 flyouts that scored him. And then after that, he retired 12 of the last 13 batters he faced, and the only one who reached on him was on an infield single on a play that Nick Senzel might have been able to make, actually, a grounder down the line at third base. That's it. That's all he gave up. He struck out Mookie Betts twice. He struck out Shohei Ohtani. He fared better against these guys the second time through the order, and even the third time against Betts. That was so impressive to me, and the kind of thing that you just don't see coming. I'll be honest, I was worried about this matchup. I don't think this start should have been used as a way to define what Mitchell Parker is going to be as a big league pitcher. Had he struggled, I don't think that would be a huge black mark on him and mean that he can't be a successful pitcher because of the circumstances. But man, oh man, for him to succeed in this environment, in this setting, let's see where he goes from here. But that was awfully impressive what he did.
He's not a highly touted prospect. Nats took Parker in the 5th round of the 2020 MLB draft. He also is an older prospect. This is his age 24 season. And if we're being truthful, I mean, we've seen this kind of thing before. You mentioned game 162 from 2001, Yoan Adon. He looked good, and we see what has happened with him these last few years. So who the heck knows what this means? But whatever, we can worry about that stuff later. I think for the now, you celebrate, you honor, you salute Mitchell Parker for the good work that he did in this game. And the Nats bullpen, off the implosion in the loss on Sunday, came back and once again was leaned on a good bit in this game. Four Nats relievers were used in this game, another game in which Davey Martinez uses at least four relievers, but the bullpen certainly was good enough here. Two runs, one earned in four innings, five strikeouts, no walks, zero walks from Nats pitchers throughout this game, as you just alluded to. Matt Barnes allowed a run, which was unearned in two-thirds of an inning. The run came in the bottom of the sixth, thanks in part to that catcher's interference error by Riley Adams. Dylan Floro faced four batters, got three outs. Hunter Harvey allowed a run in one and a third innings. Came into the game, bottom of the seventh, runner on first, two outs. Nats up 6-3. He, on the first pitch that he threw, gave up a two-out opposite field single by Mookie Betts. But Harvey then retired the great Shohei Ohtani on a lineout to center fielder Jacob Young. Harvey did then allow a run in the bottom of the eighth. But Kyle Finnegan, a no-drama, perfect bottom of the ninth for the save. This was a good pitching evening for the Nationals. And you look at what was done by that top three of the Dodgers lineup: Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, a combined 3-for-12, no walks, four strikeouts, zero extra base hits. Pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there were some loud outs in there. Ohtani hit a scorcher to center field off a 99-mile-an-hour fastball from Hunter Harvey for the final out of the seventh. But all things considered, again, really impressive. And Davey Martinez had to push some buttons with the bullpen to get through this one. Let's talk you through a couple of these things. Robert Garcia, the only left-hander they have, was unavailable. He is sick, just as many others have gotten, myself included, during this road trip. I saw him come into the clubhouse kind of late today. He did not look great, so he was not available. So you're without any of your lefties to face some of the toughest left-handed hitters in the sport, in Ohtani, Freeman, and also Muncy. So Davey's got to find righties to match up with them. He did that. He ends up having to bring in Dylan Floro to get out of the sixth, bring him back for the seventh, Hunter Harvey to finish the seventh, back for the eighth, and then Finnegan. You know, it was a quick 1-2-3 inning, but the margin of error there was really slim, because he's facing 8-9, and then it's Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, and you're up two runs. So any one batter gets on base, those guys now have a chance to tie the game with one swing. So for him, first of all, to get the 8-9 guys out quickly helped a lot. And then he very quickly got Mookie Betts to ground out. And so a much needed no drama save from him. But that was good to see some other guys step up in the cases of Barnes and Floro to help them get to the back end guys. And like I said, Davey did have to push some buttons in this one. It was not quite paint by numbers bullpen management.
And one of the funny things with this game ends up being not just that Mitchell Parker got the win, but that Mitchell Parker outdueled Tyler Glasnow. I mean, the pitching matchup for this game was heavily weighted toward the Dodgers. Tyler Glasnow, one of the better starting pitchers in the majors. The Dodgers acquired him via trade this past December, in which the Dodgers gave Glasnow a big money contract extension, 5 years, $136.5 million. And yet the Nats in this game tattooed Glasnow, broke the glass, if you will, to the tune of 6 runs in 5 innings. The Nats offense in this game, I loved what we saw. Just 8 hits, yes. 6 of the 8 hits were extra base hits. The Nats took it to the Dodgers. If you didn't know better, you'd think that the Nats were the Dodgers and the Dodgers were the Nats, with the way that the Nats both pitched and hit in this game.
Fredericksburg Nationals. When it comes to fun, we hit a home run.
Fred Nat's Baseball is back with fun for the whole family. Hitch a ride in the Millennium Falcon and travel to a galaxy far, far away this Saturday for Star Wars Night, presented by the Rappahannock Area YMCA. The force will be strong with the Fred Nats as they look to defend the ballpark from the invading forces of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. The team will suit up in specialty jerseys, which will be auctioned off after the game. Fans can also meet their favorite Star Wars characters on the concourse and head to the team store for limited edition tees. It'll be a night full of intergalactic fun for Jedis and Sith Lords alike. Tickets are just $10. Buy yours now at frednats.com/forwardtickets. Catch the future stars of the Washington Nationals right down the road in Fredericksburg. When it comes to fun, we hit a home run.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
3-2 offering. Swinging a blast. Deep right center field for Abrams. Back Hernandez looking up. This one's going to go. It is gone. Right over the 375 mark in right center field. C.J. Abrams ties the game. That is home run number 4 for Abrams. The Nationals 2 and the Dodgers 2. What a blast for Abrams. When he hits them, they're not cheap.
So three guys really stood out in terms of what the Nats did offensively in this game. C.J. Abrams, Luis Garcia Jr., and Jesse Winker. The rise of Abrams continues. This really is the number one positive storyline for the Nats so far this season. C.J. Abrams seems to be establishing himself as a star. Starting shortstop, number one batter, 2-for-5 with a solo homer and a double. So two more extra base hits, one run first, a leadoff first pitch double to the right center field gap, and he scored on a wild pitch by Glass now for a 1-0 Nats lead, giving the Nats incredibly their first inning run of this regular season. And Abrams in an Nats a 2-run 3rd, a leadoff full count home run to right center field to tie the game at 2, despite having been down at 1.12, 404 feet per Statcast. Abrams for this regular season now is slugging 648. 9 of his 16 hits have been extra base hits. It's a funny thing. He's not racking up stolen bases in the way that he was last season, in the way that other Nats have racked up stolen bases so far this season. Why is that? Well, he's getting all these extra base hits, so he's not necessarily in position to be generating stolen bases. So I think we'll take that lessening of stolen bases if it means hitting for more power. And man, he really is hitting for power so far this season.
Slugging percentage is a nice thing, isn't it? Especially from a leadoff hitter. He's got 6 hits in the last week on this road trip, and 2 of them are doubles and 2 of them are homers. So he is locked in, and these are not opposite field, just scrape over the wall. These are towering shots that he's hitting. That double was on the very first pitch, and that was a bullet to right center field, and he hustled his way into second base for that. The home run came on a 3-2 pitch at the end of a very good at bat for him. What you said, he's blossoming into a star, and I absolutely believe that. And I'll tell you what, we talked to him before this game about the Jackie Robinson ceremonies that he was a part of beforehand, and you could tell just that he relishes being in this kind of environment. Big stadium, loud crowd, big event. I think C.J. Abrams lives for these kind of moments on these kind of stages, and that's a great sign. It's the kind of thing that star players need to have. He's got personality, he's got charisma on the field, and I think he has the skills to back that all up and truly show that he can become a star in this league.
And whereas Abrams has 16 hits, 9 of which are extra base hits, Luis Garcia Jr. now 14 hits, 8 of which are extra base hits. if Abrams is the number one positive development for the Nats so far this season, Luis Garcia Jr. might be the number one most pleasant surprise for the Nats so far this season, because this is not a guy who had a good exhibition season, but he is hitting really well. Garcia in this game on Monday night, Nats starting second baseman, number five batter, 1-for-4, but the one was a three-run home run. Luis Garcia Jr. in a Nats three-run fifth, a two-out, full-count, opposite field, three-run homer to left center for a 6-2 Nats lead. So Garcia for this regular season slugging .545, 8 of his 14 hits have been extra base hits. We have seen him do a lot of good work in his time at the major league level going the opposite way. He does that with this home run, and he continues to do really well. Really encouraged by what we're seeing from him.
So that home run, I think that was arguably one of his best at-bats in the big leagues. Another long at-bat, full count. He ends up getting a slider on the 3-2 pitch. And we know he has the ability to just kind of stick the bat out and poke it to left field for a single. But what he did in this case is he stayed on it and drove the ball a mile to left center field for a home run. He has the ability to hit the ball out of the park to the opposite field. And look at his first three at-bats in this game. He had a line out to short, a drive to the warning track in center field in the second at-bat, and then the three-run homer to left center. That's good quality at-bats all around and good solid contact. The thing about Garcia, like, in theory, he could be a high batting average guy by just flicking the bat out there and chasing everything out of the zone, just kind of finding a hole. But this is kind of what we saw from him early on as a rookie. There is pop in that bat. When he takes good, forceful swings at the right pitches, he can hit the ball really hard. He's off to a fantastic start. The most surprising development, I think, so far of the season is what he's done, given what you said, the spring that he had. And we're probably going to talk about the roster moves they made before the game coming up. A big factor in why they made one of the moves they made, I think, is because Luis Garcia has been so good. And I'm not sure that they would have thought that would be the case coming into the season.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment here. Just to put a capper on those who did well, Jesse Winker, another good game for him. Nats starting DH, number two batter, 2-for-4 with a double and a single. Winker in the Nats two-run third, a full count, opposite field double to left field, despite having been down in the count at 1.02. And Winker in the Nats three-run fifth, one-out single to center field. Your Jesse Winker OPS for this regular season is at 1,004, and something that has started to become noticeable, Joey Meneses has not been an everyday player here in recent games. And a part of that clearly is Winker doing well. We're seeing Winker and Joey Gallo. Winker will play in left field. Winker for this game was a designated hitter. Gallo obviously can play DH, can play first base, as was the case on Monday night. But, you know, Meneses had been a staple in Nats lineups in recent years. That's not the case, not with him struggling and not with the likes of Winker and, to a lesser degree, Gallo putting forth some production here.
And I'll say Jacob Young as well, because he started this game against the righty batting ninth. So now Rosario had to play left, which meant Winker was going to be the DH. So you put that all together and yeah, Joey Meneses is going to have to kind of earn his everyday status again here at some point with some better at bats. I want to mention Gallo as well. His RBI double that scored Winker in the third, I thought was a great example of how Joey Gallo can become more than that three true outcome hitter that we know he is. There's a man on third with one out. If ever there's a time you just got to get the bat on the ball and get it out of the infield, this is it. And we know that's not his forte. It's going to be all or nothing for him. And instead, what he did is he took a really good controlled swing and hit a line drive, not up in the air, but a good line drive to right field down the line and turn it into an RBI double. That's not the kind of hit we normally see from Jesse Winker, but it's the kind of hit that he needs to show he can provide if he really does want to develop as a hitter and be more than the guy that he's been for the most part of his career.
Hey, Al Galdi here for Window Nation. Baseball season finally is here. Spring finally is here. And that means a great offer from Window Nation for listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. If your windows are cracked or leaking and or won't open or stay open, now is the time to call Window Nation, which is offering the following deal to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 20. 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Upgrade the look, feel, and value of your home with great new Window Nation windows. Window Nation is the best, and take advantage of the offer. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast.
Tim Shover is here to tell you about Game Time. Now that the Steven Strasburg saga has been settled, it's time to look ahead to the fifth anniversary celebration of the World Series as Houston comes to town April 19th through the 21st. Get a panoramic view of your seat on the Game Time app or website before you buy so you can make sure you'll be satisfied on game day. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
That was really tough. Such a great kid. The whole premise is that he has to play every day. Louis is playing well. Well, you know, we need to get Nick back. So he's going to go down and play every day. And I don't foresee him being down there long.
So with these roster moves by the Nats, there were a lot of them. This was like an avalanche of moves that the Nats announced on Monday evening. So first of all, Nick Senzel is back. The Nats on Monday evening announced having reinstated third baseman Nick Senzel from the 10-day injured list. He had been on that due to the fractured right thumb that he suffered while fielding a grounder prior to the Nats game on opening day. That 8-2 loss at the Cincinnati Reds on March 28th. Senzel in this game on Monday night, starting third baseman, number six batter, 1-for-3 with a single and a walk. Now, the corresponding roster move to the Nats bringing back Senzel was them optioning infielder Trey Lipscomb back to AAA Rochester. So Lipscomb got sent down. His initial major league regular season stint here did not go so well. 14 games, 55 plate appearances, slash line at 224, 278, 286. Also, the Nats on Monday evening announced having place catcher K-Bert Ruiz on the 10-day injured list, retroactive to April 12th with influenza. I don't know that I've ever seen that as the reason for a disabled list slash injured list in influenza, but he's been sick for a while, as we've been talking about, hasn't played in a game since now 2 Mondays ago. So K-Bert got put on the 10-day IL, and the Nats also announced having recalled Drew Millis from AAA Rochester. So a lot to account for here, but I guess what maybe stands out the most is this optioning of Trey Lipscomb to AAA Rochester. You had brought that up as a possibility, so I take it you weren't that surprised by the Nats doing this.
No, I wasn't, for a few reasons. I don't think he performed that poorly. He obviously wasn't as good as he was those first few games when he just took the world by storm. But I really don't think this was necessarily a reflection of his performance as much as it is a little bit of a roster crunch, which is, you signed Nick Senzel to that contract. He got hurt prior to opening day before the game could even start. He's healthy and able to play. You got to put him out there and see what you got for your $2 million. Now, I think they were fine with that and kind of went into the season planning for Nick Senzel to be their third baseman for a while. What they were not necessarily counting on was Luis Garcia to play so well that there was no question about whether he deserved to remain as the everyday second baseman. And if Trey Lipscomb's going to be in the big leagues, he's got to play every day, wherever that is, third base, second base, or maybe even a little bit of outfield. Well, at the moment, you're not going to be sitting Senzel. You're not going to sit Garcia. You know, maybe a few matchups here or there against lefties, you're going to do that. So I think Garcia's performance is really what dictated this move. Now, I think it's also easy to justify by saying, hey, he didn't make the opening day roster. Somebody got hurt. That's why he then made it up here. And you don't, you know, lose your job because of an injury. So the guy's healthy again. It's time to send him down. Davey Martinez was adamant that he's going to be back up here and probably sooner rather than later. At the moment, the timing and the roster crunch didn't quite, you know, fit. What I think is a larger question that at some point here this year, they may have to come to grips with him and make a decision on is Nassim Nunez, the Rule 5 pick. He's barely played. Pinch run a few times, defense a couple times. He started one game. That's an infield spot that Trey Lipscomb could have. Now, you'd still have to come up with a rotation for everybody to get their at-bats, but they're using a spot on their roster for somebody who hardly ever plays in the hopes they can get him through the season and then keep him in their farm system for whatever he might become someday. I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out. Are they truly committed to Nunez over the whole year and for the long term? They did this with Thaddeus Ward last year. Or does there come a point that they say, I don't know if we can justify a roster spot on this kid for someone who has obviously got speed and defensive skills, but is his offensive profile such that he's ever going to be enough of a hitter to stick in the big leagues, even as a bench player? Or is this somebody who is not necessarily worth the effort that they're going to go through here and preventing somebody else from being on the big league roster?
Here's the thing, though. What if Lipscomb had hit better? Then what would they do now? I mean, would they just activate Senzel and not play him? You know, like what if Lipscomb was tearing it up? You wouldn't want to bench him. You wouldn't want to bench Garcia. What would the Nats have done?
Yeah, maybe they would have dragged out Senzel's rehab a little longer, delay that decision, see what else came up. Maybe they would have found a way to get them all at bats and, you know, spread that around and have Lipscomb play multiple positions. I don't know. It is interesting because clearly they want him to be a part of their future. And in a lot of ways, he looks like he's kind of ready for this. But you've got a young second baseman who's off to a great start, and you don't want to give up on that. And then you have a third baseman that you signed. Now, maybe Senzel will play his way out of it. We don't know what he's going to be as a hitter. He has not lived up to his potential in his career, not with the Reds. But I think you have to at least give him a chance. I don't know what they would have done in that scenario. Maybe they would have found a way to keep them all. Or maybe they would have said, hey, you know what, Trey? We're going to stick with what the plan was going into the season, which is go down AAA, get your work, and we'll get you up here when the time is right.
Yeah, I would just say this about Senzel. I really don't think the leash should be very long. I mean, he's not here to be a piece for the future. He's a stopgap guy. I'm already not like entirely comfortable with choosing him over Lipscomb, but I get it. I mean, he hasn't played at all. So it's like, you should at least give the guy an opportunity. And Lipscomb was struggling, so maybe Lipscomb wasn't ready for the majors. But if Senzel isn't doing well, there's no reason to stick with him. You know, one of the things that the Nats have done in recent years that I have not liked, they have stuck with guys who clearly are not long-term pieces for way too long in seasons, whether you're talking about, you know, Nelson Cruz or Cesar Hernandez. There are others who have come up as well. And I really hope that we're done with that. Like, I think it's super short leash. If Senzel does well, fine. If he doesn't, there should be zero hesitation to go to Lipscomb. And if he has to do some developing at the major league level, I think that's okay. Guys do that a lot. It can do guys some good. And like you said, it's not like Lipscomb was wretched in this stint. It's just that, you know, he ended up not doing that well and the numbers ended up being not so good.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that you just said. And I think there are a number of things that have happened that make you say, if they knew back in December what they know now, would they have signed some of these players that they did? Maybe not, but they did. And there's a certain obligation to say, well, these are some guys we signed to major league contracts. I guess we feel like we need to give them the opportunity to play. I agree. I do think they need to make sure that the young guys, when they are ready, have the opportunity to learn and grow at the major league level. And you don't want at-bats taken away from them by players who clearly are not in this for the long haul here. I'll be interested to see. You hope and they hope that Senzel plays well and then that take care of it and he, you know, maybe gets has some trade value for them down the road. But if not, how long is that leash? Are we talking weeks or are we talking months before they have to make that decision?
Yeah, I would hope that the former is the case. I think that would make the most sense. So game two for the Nats at the Dodgers late night on Tuesday night at 10:10. Patrick Corbin will be the Nats starting pitcher. And, you know, it's a funny deal. That was a really rough loss that the Nats suffered on Sunday, and that seemed to change the tenor of this trip out west. Well, here we are now. This win on Monday night in some ways flipped the script back to where it had been. The Nats need one more win, and they have a winning trip over these nine games in California. So the opportunity to not only win a series at the Dodgers, but come back east with a 5-4 trip in California.
And you're saying Patrick Corbin will be the one to secure that for them?
I didn't say that. There is a game three of this series, but you only have to win one out of the remaining two to win the series. I mean, think about that. So that would be nice.
Yeah, it would make it for a great trip. And it also make you say, man, if they hadn't just blown that game on Sunday in Oakland, if they somehow did emerge with three straight series wins out west, that would be remarkable for them. But I think we are paying more attention to wins and losses this year. We talked about that. I think it is important to pay a little more attention to what their record is this year. At the same time, with only a couple of exceptions so far this season, I've been impressed just with the way they're playing. They've been in almost every game. Some of the games they've lost have been very winnable games that they just didn't quite do something in the later innings, whether it was a bullpen or offensively, just didn't come through with one more hit they needed. They've been on the cusp here of looking like a pretty good team, and they've done it despite some injuries and some guys not being available. So I think you take a step back and look at how things have gone here through 16 games. I think there's a lot to be encouraged by. It hasn't been perfect. There are things you still want to see better, of course. But I think for the most part, there's reason to be pleased with the way this has gone so far.
Yeah. And you think about what could be coming, you know, with somebody like a James Wood, who could be here a lot sooner than later. We'll see. This episode of the Nats Chat podcast brought to us by the Fred Nats Star Wars Night in Northern Virginia this coming Saturday evening, April 20th. Tickets start at just $10. You can buy your tickets at frednats.com/tickets. Catch the future stars of the Washington Nationals right down the road in Fredericksburg. Hit us up on X at Nats_chat. Email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com, including if you are interested in sponsoring the show. You can sponsor the show throughout the season. You can sponsor a particular series. You can sponsor a particular game, whatever you prefer. But hit up Tim Shover's natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube. Just search Nats Chat. Our YouTube handle is at Nats Chat Podcast. We have a website that we invite you to check out too, natschatpodcast.com. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. For Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat Podcast.
In the last half of the second inning, Robinson gets the first hit off Ford. It's a homer into the left field stand.